All right, Acts chapter 16 tonight, Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 and 3, you're introduced to Timothy, who winds up going with Paul, of course. And you notice, starting down in verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so, where the church is established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Now, let me just remind you of geography a little bit. I didn't draw a map because y'all can't read it anyway. You know that Galatia is on the the peninsula of Asia Minor. So that's modern-day Turkey, all right? So you're now standing in modern-day Turkey if you're there. It says that they, after they were come, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So if you're standing facing north, if I'm standing facing north in Galatia, which is modern day Turkey, then they're forbidden to go that way into Asia, to the east. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. So standing in Mysia, on the peninsula of what is now Turkey, then they want to go north, but again, they're not allowed to go north, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So now they're going to go west, down towards the sea, the Aegean Sea. Troas is on the coast of Asia Minor, what is now Turkey. And so they're standing there by the seaside. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia. Macedonia is across the Aegean Sea. It's part of Greece. So if you know the geography over there at all, you're standing now facing west on in Troas, which is on basically Turkey. You're going to cross. So from you have to cross the Aegean Sea to go to Macedonia. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over unto Macedonia and help us." After they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. So let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, come to you tonight and hope that this might make some sense. Lord, we'd be reminded, you give us something to do. We all have a purpose in life. And Father, sometimes that boils down to things that are very specific, but oftentimes, Father, more esoteric things, not the will of God is not the exact same for everybody's life. I pray that you might give us light in these things, but Father, help us to know that we have to go through things to get to the end. And I pray just please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Acts 16, verse 6 and 7, they are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go to Asia. They are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go on up to Bithynia. So they hang a left and go west down to Troas, where Paul has a vision. And the vision is a man of Macedonia over the Aegean Sea in Greece saying, "Come help us." And so they endeavor to go. Now, verse 9 and verse 10, you have this vision twice. Okay, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen? Proverbs 29:18. A man of Macedonia appears to Paul in a vision. Now, this is the apostolic times, and the Lord doesn't communicate with you through visions anymore. You may have a vision. The vision will come through the Bible, right? The Bible will lay out your vision. But these guys were led at this juncture by the vision because they didn't have a finished Bible. Amen. They had the Old Testament, but not the New Testament finished yet. So that's where they stand. And this man from Macedonia prays him, verse 9, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, if you want a vision, try to help somebody. If I'm you, I'm not going to do it through the Red Cross or United Way or some such thing like that. You'd be better off to do it through what God ordained, which is the church. In fact, there's churches that God needs you to help. And there are people in church, your brethren, that God needs you to help. And so that's kind of how we're taking this down this road for us. Because I know you haven't had a vision of traveling to some country where a man has called you to come help them. But that man, for Paul, for the next months, I don't know exactly how long this plays out. It's not years. It's relatively quickly. But that man becomes Paul and Timothy's and Silas's preoccupation, their motive, their mark, their objective for the next several months as they go to try to find this guy who the Lord gave the vision and said, come help us. They're trying to find the guy, and they kind of have a tough time finding him. And that's what really this is about. You may have a clear vision of something God wants you to do. I hope you do. I hope that the Lord led you where He's led you here, and I hope that you want to help. And I just want you to know that you're going to have to go through some things. Most people have to go through some things to get to where the Lord wants you to get. Really, that's what the Christian life is about. We all ought to have some sort of we're called to a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We ought to have some clue that the Lord wants us to wind up with the mind of Christ out of all this. As much as in you is, the Lord wants you to think and feel and reason like Jesus Christ would reason. You get that from the book. So by the time it's over, ideally, by the time you're ready to leave this life, you're thinking just like Jesus Christ. That's a worthy vision. And where there's no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be a tough, kind of be tough to have a vision. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to kind of be tough to fulfill the vision of winding up closer to Jesus Christ than when you began by having the mind of Christ. So that's the idea. Now, these guys, once they got the vision down in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So maybe this is about getting somebody saved. I hope it is. I hope you have that goal. But you'll notice that with the vision, they immediately endeavored to go. There was no dilly-dallying. There was no waiting. There was no planning. They went and got on a ship as quickly as possible. They're going to get on the Aegean Sea and head across to try to go to Macedonia. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, where they started, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. That's if you look on a map, that's a real small island, kind of out in the middle of the Aegean Sea on the north side, up by the northern coasts of Greece. But he said that they came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding, it says, certain days. So Paul gets this vision, communicates the vision to all around him, Timothy, Silas, and whoever else was with him. He said, we need to go. And they said, you're right, we need to go. Let's go. And so they do go. Now, somebody in that company, maybe Paul, maybe Silas, maybe Timothy, the young'un, maybe others, they probably thought that they would land on the Macedonian shore and there would be a guy there standing with his hands in his pockets going, hey, remember me? I was the guy in the vision. Only it didn't work out that way. Not quite that simple, and that's the idea. It's not quite that simple. I'm telling you that there are things, people, circumstances, and options that present themselves to you. Some of them are Y's in the road, and you best not take the Y. Some of them are dead ends. Some of them are options. Some of them are distractions. And if you're not careful, you'll never get to the man of Macedonia to help him. And you want to be careful about that, because I dare say that a lot of Christians never make it to the man of Macedonia. And, you know, Paul is standing there on the island of Samothracia, and then the next day or so, Neapolis. They even go to Philippi. And the guy still hasn't shown up. So this sermon is about getting to that guy. Where is that guy? I'm here. I'm on the shores of Greece. I'm on the shores of Macedonia. Where's that guy? And I just want to show you some things that might come up. It's not unusual that that guy might not be on the shore with his one hand in his pocket waving, "Hey, it's me. Hey, I'm here. Good to see you guys." Usually doesn't work quite that way, right? So I want to preach to you a little while about that. Lord said, "Okay, Moses, lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to take you to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey." And the obvious thing would be to go north, east, and walk right into Canaan, but that's not the direction the Lord took them. Point A to point B is not a straight line, as I've said so many times. The Lord told Eve, "I'm going to give you a seed." And naturally, when Eve became pregnant with Cain, she said, "Oh, it's almost here. The seed's almost here." And no, it's usually not quite that simple. Know what I'm saying? It's a while before they saw that seed. Correct? Are y'all with me? Because if I lost you now, I don't know how I'm going to get you back. Anyway, so in verse 11, they're on the way to Macedonia. They're crossing the Aegean Sea. And therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. Well, maybe they didn't expect to see the man from Macedonia there. After all, it is an island. But the next day, we go to Neapolis. Now, Neapolis is right on the coast of Greece, Macedonia. And so, the guy's still not there. Verse 12, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia." I guess it makes sense to go to the biggest city there, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. I don't know how many days they were there. 3 days, 5 days, a week, 2 weeks. And they're sitting around going, "Where's that guy at? Where's this guy that needs help?" And so far they haven't seen him. So let me take you down to verse 14. "And a certain woman," I'm sorry, I need to start with verse 13. "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. As says there, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us." Okay, so they're hanging out in Philippi going, "Wonder where this guy is." And they've been here certain days. I don't know if it's a week or 2 weeks, but they've been there a few days, and it's like, "Where's this dude at? Because this is the reason we came here, and he hasn't shown up yet." And so it's a Sabbath day, and they decide to go find something to do. They go down in verse 13. "On the Sabbath day, went to the out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." Paul would be attracted to somebody praying, right? "We sat down and spake unto the women that resorted thither." Okay, well, ran into some ladies, and the ladies were willing to listen. And so, verse 14, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple and of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized," I mean, apparently he led her to the Lord, right? And then baptized her. "But, and her household as well," verse 15, "her whole household. Yet, where's that guy? It sure is good to see fruit. It's good to find somebody that's spiritual-minded. She turns out that she is hospitable. Turns out she has a business. She's in business for herself. She's a seller of purple. Apparently a seamstress of some sort, that sort of thing. She's spiritual. She listens to the Word of God. She gets saved, wants to do the right thing. gets baptized, again invites them into her home, this group of men, and apparently that was still apropos and that was fine and all that. So a lot of things are piling up here, but where is that guy? We still haven't seen the guy, right? Well, one thing that might happen along the way to you getting to the actual vision, one thing that might happen is that you might bear spiritual fruit along the way. And, you know, it's possible that there might be a distraction involved with that because, again, they've been here multiple days and this has gone on for a while, and they go down to the riverside, lead a lady to the Lord, her household to the Lord. They all get baptized and she's very hospitable. She owns a business herself, spiritual. And meanwhile, the guys are going around, well, where's this guy Paul saw? And Silas might have been the one, I don't know, but he might have thought, you know, well, Lydia's single and Paul's single. Lydia's spiritual and Paul's spiritual. And he might have looked sideways at Paul and kind of raised his eyebrows and did that kind of thing, you know? And by the way, Paul, she's got a business and she's hospitable. You know, I just wonder if the Lord might be doing something here for, you know, Paul. You know? Maybe the Lord is leading you to do something different than you at first saw. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that's all wrong. In the process of following the Lord's will, the Lord gave me my wife. And some of you got your wives by doing the Lord's will. Praise the Lord, right? So I'm not denouncing that, but the question is, where's the guy? Where's the man in the vision? Come help us. We're here. We've been here 2 weeks. And all we've seen is women. And can you see how there might be a distraction that sets in to try to get you off track? I wouldn't put it past the devil to have a scenario set up where you could come and get entangled. And there might even involve some spiritual fruit, leading some folks to the Lord or something. But this is not the end of the road because you haven't found the guy yet. Part of this is about you making sure that you keep your focus and remember what the vision is. Now look, I was called to Minneapolis to start a church by God's grace, and then to pastor the church that got started by God's grace, and then to feed the flock. And you might be surprised how many side roads have presented themselves to do something else. I haven't wanted to do anything else, but you might be surprised how often the devil steps in to try to wrest ye from your purpose. And the whole purpose is, I got to find that guy. The guy was the vision. Come help us. We're coming as fast as we can. In fact, we're here. We've been here a month, and we've led some ladies to the Lord, and there's one good-looking one that owns a business and is spiritual, and Silas wants me to marry her. But where's the guy? You got to stay focused on the guy. No matter what happens in a church split, you got to stay focused, Kyle Stevens, on feeding the flock, trying to get the church started, trying to get the church established, and pastoring the church. Because there's a lot of other things that might present themselves. Understand what I'm saying? It's easy to get off track. It's easy to get distracted. God leads you to a Bible-believing church. It's a place of service. It's a place that needs your help. It's a place where there's a need for you. But, you know, there's another King James kind of church, actually a little bit closer to you, and they have a better singles department than the church where the Lord led you. You get a sudden job offer in Dumpsville somewhere where there is no church, and you start thinking about how much more fruit you might be able to bear, how much more money you might be able to give to missions if you had a job that paid you $15,000 more a year. Know what I'm saying? But where's the guy? What started this whole thing was God gave you a vision to go for that guy. You haven't seen the guy yet, and now you're thinking all these other possibilities. You get offered a staff position at a church that's really not a King James church, but you think that you can do good there and maybe change it from the inside. Doesn't happen very often. I know of one case, but it doesn't happen very often. I'm just saying, here Paul sees an opportunity maybe to start a ministry with these ladies that this seller of purple knows, and this could be an ongoing thing. So maybe we should just stay here in this town of Philippi down by the river. We haven't seen the guy yet. I mean, maybe we're supposed to understand the guy allegorically. Maybe it's not a guy. I mean, after all, Lydia is a man with a womb. Make the contraction, you know, take the little thing out and you have a man who's a woman. Don't think me weird or anything. I'm just saying. We've taken the apostrophe out of the contraction, but a woman is a man with a womb. So maybe we should understand that. Maybe the Lord was just allegorically, metaphorically speaking of the man whom I'm supposed to go help, and it really was a lady and her group of Bible study buddies. You still haven't found the guy. I'm talking about along the way, maybe some spiritual fruit is born, and maybe you get distracted because there are other possibilities that arise, but you still haven't found the guy. Where's that guy at? And you got to give it to Paul. He didn't stop. He continued to look for the guy. Even though that Silas kept walking past him going like that, Paul's not having nothing to do with it. He's looking for the guy. You need to look for the guy. You need to keep focused on what you're supposed to be doing. Go on down, if you will, in verse 16. So, baptizes Lydia and her household and stayed with her apparently for a little bit. So I don't know how deep we are into this now. I don't know if it's a month or 6 weeks or what. But verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, I'll point out to you here that, this is spiritual deception, plainly, right? This is, I mean, she's got a spirit of divination. She's soothsaying by that spirit. Verse 18, and this did she many days. I mean, they didn't put up with her one day. They put up with her many days, and I don't know how many days are, but you may be, a couple months now, 3 months into this, process. You came looking for a guy, and so far all you've run into is women and one demon-possessed gal. But, the demon-possessed gal is didn't say a single thing that was wrong. She didn't say a single thing wrong. These men, verse 17, are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Maybe we should just park here and, reach the lost this way. I mean, she's telling the truth. If she ever started lying by the Spirit, then we could, change. I mean, we could change our music a little bit to fit things, and we would never let it go to full-blown jazz or nothing like that. There are some doctrines that we could shift just a little bit, but this gal is leading them to spiritual deception, and they still, the real key is they still haven't seen the man they came looking for. You know what I'm saying? Spiritual deception. Came out of my backslidden years in college and was getting fed the Bible as I should have been and that sort of thing at a church, a pretty good church. And I was going to this Baptist union on campus, kind of a little, just, it's a, they're called Baptist student unions. It's a Southern Baptist deal. And somebody convinced me to go to, and I'm still figuring things out. They asked me to go to a meeting at a certain church where, you know, there's somebody presenting this thing. And I'm telling you this because I came this close to getting caught up in a YWAM type situation. Because I was all full of zeal, and they were going to recruit some youth, what is YWAM? Youth with a Mission. And they're really badly charismatic. But they're going to take some young people over to, I forget even what country now, and we're going to live there and convert the heathen to Christ. And I came that close to being sucked into it. Came that close. And finally found a church in town. This is just after getting right, where a guy there had Dr. Ruckman in. And so the reasonable thing to do was me to start going to that church where they'd had Dr. Ruckman in at least, because I was seriously considering Bible school. And so I tell the pastor up front, I'm only here for 4 months. I'm leaving in August to go to Bible school. Where are you going to Bible school? So I told him. He goes, I should have known something was up then. Because by the time late July rolled around, he called me in his office and he said, now he was a man of God sort of guy. Wore it on his sleeve, man of God, man of God, man of God. He said, Brother Kyle, I don't have peace about you going to Dr. Ruckman's school. I'm thinking, well, that's funny. I got peace. I mean, I had a vision. I mean, I still to this hour believe I was told to go. And he says, so I'm given this opportunity by an independent Baptist fundamentalist pastor not to fulfill the will of God for my life. Now, is he giving me advice from the Holy Ghost, or is he giving me advice from somebody else? And needless to say, I chose right. But I'm telling you, when you know what the Lord wants you to do, there's going to be some stuff presented to you. Some of it may involve bearing spiritual fruit, and like with Lydia and her crew. And there may be other possibilities that present themselves. And maybe this, you should settle down with this gal. Now, I know you're called to send, to send the gospel to the Gentiles and to bear a witness before kings and all that stuff. But, settle down with this gal and see how this goes. Because, maybe the Lord's in that. No, probably not. You know how you know that? Because you haven't found the guy yet. You started this journey with a vision of a guy you've got to go find. He's saying, come help us. And you haven't found him yet. One way you know you're getting off track is when you're no longer on track to find that guy. And had he gotten engaged to Lydia, started a little romance thing there, which would have been permissible biblically as such, but he's still not finding the guy. And when given the opportunity to have these demon-possessed gals go ahead and tell the truth about you, he says, no, I can't have it, because where might that lead? Right? And where does things lead? If you start down that road, where does it lead? If you start listening to a Ouija board once, where does it stop? You still haven't found the guy. Stay focused on the guy. Stay focused on what you're called to do, what you're sure God wanted you to do. And so there's spiritual deception that shows up along the way. Every time, you know how this goes, a lot of times we get somebody interested in church, they come, enjoy it, and they are in for a full-fledged brawl from here on just to get back to church. Because the devil interferes with them, trying to lead them off down some Y in the road, down some dead end somewhere, going to wind up in a JW church or going back to the Catholics or something. It's happened more than once. Way more than once. You gotta go fulfill the vision. You gotta find that guy. He's the one that started you on this. God's the one that gave you that vision. Come and help us. Oh, I want to help him until I get a chance to get married. Until I get a chance to settle down and, you know, have this girl prophesying, and I have an opportunity to broaden my spiritual horizons ecumenically and minister to other people. No, you're called to find that guy. At least Paul stayed on track. You agree? Look at something else that happened here down in verse 19. Now, in verse 18, she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now, you're not called to cast demons out, okay? I'm not saying that. And he came out of that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Okay? People get torqued off. You've been given a vision for the man of Macedonia. Come help us, he says. Okay, we want to go help. We'll get on. We will immediately embark right now to come find you. He's not on the island. He's not on the coast. He's not in Philippi. All we've seen is ladies and demon-possessed girls. We've borne a little fruit along the way. Where's that guy at? And now, after I've cast out the devil from this demon-possessed girl, now people are torqued off. And they're not torqued off for spiritual reasons. They're torqued off because I cut off their money source by casting this devil out of this girl. There might be lots of reasons that people get torqued off. Lots of reasons. You prayed that prayer at Thanksgiving. You know. Now people get torqued off about all kinds of things. Health food. Immunizations. music. You're too negative. You're too critical. You're not positive enough. All that kind of stuff. People get torqued off for lots of reasons. So maybe we should just pause here and do the best we can to soothe their feelings. And we can compromise a little bit because, after all, we want to reach all men for Christ. Now be careful, because you haven't found that guy yet. Right? Here you are, you're talking like this. People are torqued off at you. And maybe we can focus on being a little more sensitive. Maybe a little more contemporary. We can shift the music just a little bit. I mean, like I said, I came here to start a church all those years ago and to pastor the church that the Lord allowed us to start by His grace. And to feed, and what that process involved is feeding the flock. And, you know, there was just lots of times that there was one flock, one sheep in the flock, three sheep in the flock, five sheep here this morning that I fed. And that's not what I'd envisioned. You know, it's more like, this is more what I'd envisioned. I mean, there's at least more than 30 people here, more than five people here. But there are just many days that it's kind of hard to stay focused, because that's what the Lord had called me to come do. Now, Paul says, the guy said, help us. I'm going to help him as fast as I can, but so far I haven't seen the guy. You need to stay focused on that guy. Because if you're not careful, people will get mad, and then you start trying to shift and satisfy them. You can spend the rest of your life trying to qualm people's being upset at you. Your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, your family, for going to that wacky church. You know, you go to church four times a week. Good night. Where does this end? And sometimes five or six times a week when there's a special meeting. You guys are cracked in the head. Enough is enough. But you still haven't found that guy. Don't stop short of finding that guy. Don't stop short of fulfilling what God called you to do when you started this journey. Right? Let me take you down to verse 21. So far, all he's met is Lydia and her household, and that was a good thing because they bore some spiritual fruit. Then he got tangled up with this demon-possessed girl. He cast the devils out, and then in casting the devil out, then her masters get upset with him, and they're torqued off. And people do get torqued off when you're following God's will for your life. Look, you're going to have to get used to it. They get mad at you because you're not doing it the way they would do it. Your goals are not the same. Your methods are not the same. You're trying to please your father. They're trying to please their father. What you have to stay focused on is the guy you're supposed to find. And the guy you're supposed to find, I'm not talking about just one guy. I'm talking about you fulfilling what God called you to do. Because that's all Paul's doing. He's saying, I don't need to start dating yet. Don't need to get tangled up with this demon-possessed girl. And I don't care if they're mad at me. I'm looking for that guy. Where is that man that got me to this point? I'm in a different country now. Where is that man? Look down in verse 21. Well, read verse 20. And they brought him to the magistrates, saying, "These men bring being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city." Okay, now things get complicated because now they've taken you to court. And verse 21, "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." So now you're entangled in ordinances and laws and all that kind of stuff. We were just praying in men's prayer about the Pizzo's visa. To fulfill what they're called to do, all these missionaries are having to jump through all these visa hoops, have secondary countries they have to, go to while everything is, all the little, you know, gerbil wheels are turning to try to get their visas through to the country where they're trying to go or trying to stay. It's a hassle. It's a complication. It's a technicality. What does this have to do with the gospel? Well, it's just really easy to get preoccupied with the complications, the technicalities, isn't it? Look, in 2020, we were just trying to have church like normal. But no, Governor Walz and Dr. Fauci Kikuchi got involved, and we had to wear masks and quit coming, and we wound up with 21 cases of COVID in our church in 1 week, and we had to quit going to church for a while. Just technicalities, right? Complications. Mark and Lori live with that every day of their lives and all the time they've been in China. You know what I'm saying? City ordinances. What's public property? Do we do 501c3? Political endorsements. Are we allowed to do that? The songs that we copy for some extra songs for some, are they public domain or are we breaking the copyright laws? You just get entangled with all this stuff. Bought a church bus once. Thought it was a great idea. Until we had to designate the drivers, and all the drivers had to go get urinalysis every month. And it was just too much. Too much to put up with, so we got rid of it, and we're taking Brother Jeff's van now. Have used the Dietz's van. We'll just use them instead of going through all the other stuff. It's just complicated. And if you're not careful in the midst of the complications, I keep thinking about how OSHA must have come around and given Noah a hard time building an ark. But you get preoccupied with all the complications, and you know, if you're not careful, you lose the vision. Where's the guy? Where's this man? You've been given spiritual fruit, and you had a chance for a girlfriend. But you walk past that because you haven't found the man yet. Then you got tangled up with this demon-possessed girl, and you cast the devil out of her and made her bosses mad, and now they've got you in court. Do you still have your vision? And there's lots of things that happen in life along the way to you fulfilling your calling in life. Do you still have your eye on what started you on this journey to start with? Where is that guy? Where's that man? Look down in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. First of all, then you have the mob that gets involved. There's the public opinion involved. Suddenly, everybody hates Paul and Silas and Timotheus and their little entourage. They're called heretics. They're called schismatics. And then somebody whispers the name Rachman. And the fur really hits the fan then. And, you know, I'm sorry, you're going to have to shoulder some of that. They have called Bible believers names for as long as there have been Bible believers. And you're just going to have to shoulder that. And there are some folks, there are folks in our camp that will jump through hoops to try to avoid landing in a reproachable, disrespected place. I know not long ago of a guy of a Baptist church that is a King James church. And he said, we want to be on the respectable end of the King James issue. That is the wrong way to think. There is no respectable end to the King James issue that leads you to being a true Bible believer. Because it's not a respectable position. It's just not. The mob, public opinion. Paul looks over that crowd that's getting riled up, and they're starting to chant and they're starting to rant and rave. He's getting the finger shot at him, has a tomato thrown in his face, and you know, one guy even, you know, has a spear that he's got over his head. And Paul's thinking, where is that guy I came looking for? At least he's focused, right? Because if it's really easy to get your focus off on the mad crowd, the mad family, the mob, the public opinion. You have no friends on Facebook anymore. They've all defriended you, unfriended you or whatever that is these days. And Paul says, where's that guy? He's still focused. He said, I came here. I crossed a sea to try to find a guy that came to me in a vision. And he said, come help us. And I'm here trying to find him so I can help him. Where is that guy? Down in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against him, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat him. When they had laid many stripes upon them, you know, not one or two, but it does say many, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Whippings and bonds. Now maybe, well, none of us will ever go to jail. Certainly don't go looking for it. Amen. But maybe you'll get a whipping. Maybe you'll lose your job. Maybe you won't get a promotion. Maybe you'll lose a big sale. I don't know, something like that. Maybe you'll be bypassed for a promotion. Don't know. But here's Paul. Here I am in jail. And you can put in there, here I am, fired, not promoted, still in the same spot I've always been. Here I am, overlooked for a promotion. Here I am, having lost a sale. And Paul at least has the wherewithal to think, where is that guy? And this whole thing is about finding that one man who said, come help us. And all this other stuff has entered in and complicated the picture so that, you know, it's just so easy to go down that. Don't think that Satan doesn't present you all kinds of other options besides the thing that you're supposed to be doing. Okay? So, verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Now in verse 24, they get pitched into jail. They have many stripes upon them, so I'm sure that was very comfortable, leaning back up against a rock wall. with your back lacerated to pieces. Don't you think that was fun? And I can't help but think at that point that there might have been some self-doubt kind of drip in, because, first of all, remember that Barnabas has just departed from Paul. At the end of chapter 15, Barnabas and Paul had this thing over John Mark. And Paul said, he ain't going with us. And Barnabas says, he's going with me. Paul said, well, he ain't going with us. He said, well, I guess we ain't going together then. So Barnabas and Paul, of all people, broke up. And Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul said, I'll take Silas with me. And so this is Paul and Silas's first missionary trip. In fact, it's the first trip they've had together. And because Barnabas departed, and remember, Barnabas was the balm to Paul's sharp edge. Barnabas was the son of consolation. And Paul was not a diplomat at all yet. Barnabas was the guy that went in front of him that smoothed things over after Paul was done ripping them up. And so here sat Paul and Silas now in jail with their backs lacerated so that they can hardly sit there. And Silas is going, did I wind up with a wingnut? You know, and Paul's going, I wonder if I chose right. Maybe Silas is not the right guy, you know. And we haven't seen that guy yet. We have yet to see the man of Macedonia who said, come and help us. Well, at midnight, Paul and Silas, verse 25, prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And finally, they see a guy. The jailer is the guy. And Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm. You think that jailer needed some help that night? He didn't have sense enough yet to cry, oh, help me. But that jailer needed help. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So, in self-doubt there, they sat looking at each other, wondering if they've chosen the right guy. And then suddenly, this jailer shows up after the earthquake. Oh, there's a guy. That kind of looks like the guy in the vision. But you know, I had to avoid dating that girl. And I had to cast the devil out of that soothsayer girl. And then they got mad at us. And then they took us before court. And we had to jump through all those hoops and all this complication stuff. And then they whipped us. And now we're in jail. And we had to go through all that just to get to the guy. I simply am preaching this because I know that the vision differs a little for each of us. And it may take a lot longer than a couple or 3 months. But when you got saved, God called you to become something. He called you to a high calling. It's not that complicated, but it does take diligence and zeal every day. And if you allow all these distractions, whether it be these or things like them, if you're not careful, you lose complete vision for what you're supposed to be doing. Where is that guy? What you're given here is Paul and Silas went through all kinds of things, and finally they got to that guy. And they got him saved and the rest of his household saved. Next morning they left the prison house and went on their way. Okay? But I'm telling you, the devil has all kinds of curves to throw. You've got to be focused on what you're called to do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank